We unashamedly confess we need him. We need him. Amen. We have a host of needs, those we've been praying for, and not to exclude anyone, but in particular today, need intervention of the Lord for Brother Steve. Amen. Sister Norvell, Brother Carr, Isaac, Olivia today really needs the touch of the Lord. And Lynn Townsend, got a host of needs. Amen. We need him. We need him. Hallelujah. Marvel of marvels. He doesn't need us, but we need him. Amen. So if you'd like to turn today to John chapter 1, we're not starting the series over, but for this Christmas season, I'm setting aside the John series. I'm going to be preaching about what Christmas is all about the next few weeks. So two places in your scripture, John chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 2. And you may want to leave your scriptures open at Hebrews. John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2. Would you stand together and let's join our hearts in prayer for these that I just listed. And let's ask the Lord to intervene. Lord, we do need you, Lord. We need your intervention. We need your power. God, we need you, Lord, to stretch forth your hand. Lord, lay it upon these that are sick and ill. God, for your glory. Lord, for your praise. Lord, you're able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think. Lord, we're asking today, Lord Jesus. We're knocking, we're seeking, Lord. We're believing you to intervene. And we ask you, oh God, to heal these. May they experience, Lord, something right now. Lord, as we pray, something from heaven. Lord, your healing touch. Lord, move right now, Lord. We come against the enemy that would seek to destroy, God. And we pray, Jesus, that you would intervene, Lord, right now. God, move through the preaching of the word. This time we share at your table. May there just be a growing sense of your presence that we already feel. Lord, anoint the preaching of the word. Bind our hearts together. Lord, I pray you do that right now. Bind our hearts together, Lord. Lord, bind our hearts together. God, ever hurting heart, ever straying heart. Lord, ever dissenting heart. Lord, bind our hearts together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The Word was made flesh. What was he made? He was made like unto his brethren. I want to preach today on he became this. He became this. You can be seated. The scripture says that he was made like his brothers. That would be you and I. I'd like for you to do something, and please follow these instructions carefully because I don't want anyone to get hurt. Here in a moment, I'm going to have you pinch yourself. So the first part of the instruction is yourself, not your neighbor. Wait till they go to sleep to do that. I had to work on that. I came from where we said pinch. So I've worked very hard on that today. So here in a moment, I'm going to have you pinch yourself. And I want you to pinch yourself hard enough that you can feel it, that it hurts a little bit. I mean, don't injure yourself, but whether it's your arm or whatever. So I'm going to have you say something, man. I rarely have you repeat anything. I'm going to have you say something in a moment. But would everyone go ahead and start pinching themselves enough so it hurts a little bit? Come on, little. Nobody's grimacing. Just a little more. So. Now, I want you to repeat after me. He became this. Go ahead, repeat as you pinch yourself. He became this. One more time. He became this. Did you feel pain? He became this. He felt pain. Christmas is a time to wonder, and our world's boiled their wonder down to things like, how do you fit a 300-pound Santa Claus down a chimney or a 4-inch flue pipe? That's not the kind of wondering we're going to do this morning. But I think our hearts ought to be filled with wonder about this. God became man. How many knows that's the clear teaching of Scripture, and that our salvation is all tied up in that wondrous statement? God became man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. But this Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God became this. The Word became this. Jesus became this. Now, we got to be careful here. We're not talking about Jesus just being God in the form of man. Not being God, able to manifest Himself in different ways. He chose to manifest Himself so that His form appeared to be man. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus was not even God inhabiting a human body. He didn't just make a human body and then God lived in that body like you would live in a house. No. Jesus wasn't even one half God and one half human. I wouldn't have the ability to explain that DNA-wise. Normally you get 50% of your DNA from each parent. But Jesus got 100% DNA from each parent. He was 100% God and 100% human. The wonder of this is that He became human without ceasing to be God. I said He became this without ceasing to become God, without ceasing to be God. You know, Solomon saw a problem here when he was getting ready to build the temple. And that temple had a holiest of holies where God's presence would dwell. But look what he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built thee. Solomon is scratching his head. I'm going to build you a temple, God, and we're going to have that innermost room, that holiest of holies, to be your throne room. But if the heavens, if the universe cannot contain you, how is that little room in the temple going to contain you? We're faced with that wonderment this morning. How can all of God be contained within the existence of a human? I said, how can all of God be contained in the existence of a human? Let me ask you today, how are you going to put Niagara Falls in a coffee mug? How are you going to put a rainbow in your pocket? I mean, I don't believe it happened this way, but how are you going to take all the matter and energy of the universe and reverse it and stick it back into that one infinitesimally small point? How are you going to do that? Amen. How are you going to take all of God and put Him in a 7-pound baby? Amen. You see, this is the wonder that the Creator became the created. The one who made the atoms consisted of atoms. Amen. That the Spirit became material. That the timeless one became one who aged. That the limitless one became one who was limited by the confines of this human body. Oh, we ought to marvel that the Word became flesh, that God became human, that Jesus became this. You see, so far we've only wondered about the how. But I tell you, there's something that's even more marvelous to wonder than how God became man. The thing that's more marvelous is, why would God become man? Isn't that a greater thing to wonder? Why would He do it? And though that is fills us with more wonder. That's more answerable. The why is more answerable than the how. I could just summarize it and we could quit here and it would be true. Why did God become this? Why did God become? Because he loved this. He loved humanity. That's why he became us. Aren't you glad that he loved us? But if we were to specify that, amen, Jesus, God, became this to reveal God to us. We could not go to where God was at. No amount of smarts, education, architecture, music, science, medicine, amen, study. We could never go to where God was. We could never know God, understand God. But when we could not go to where he was, he came to us. And Jesus came as a man to say, I'm going to reveal God to you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen how I've had compassion on people. God has compassion on people. You've seen how I have forgiven sin. God forgives sin. He came to reveal God to us and show us how much he cared. But Jesus not only became this to reveal God to us, but he became this to be the sacrifice for our sins. I remember one time faced with the task to explain the incarnation on video that was going to be sent out to different nationalities and used as teaching material. And I was dwelling with this, why did God become man? Why the incarnation? And I said, the simplest way I can answer it, God became man so he could bleed. It's man that sins, so man must pay the penalty of sin. He must die for his sins. And life, the life is in the blood. Amen. Jesus became man because he, as a human, a perfect human, he became the sacrifice and shed his life's blood, gave his life as a substitute for you and I, for you and me. He was the sacrifice for our sins. What can wash away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Why did he become this? To reveal God to us, to be the sacrifice for his sin. But what I really want to deal with today, why did he become this? To live as we live. To live as this lives. Amen. He came, became this to fight what we fight. To endure what we endure. To face what we face. He became this to feel what we feel. Listen, though I've been preaching it and it's true, Jesus did not become human just to die as a human. Jesus became human to live as a human. He lived as we live. He thirsted. He needed to sleep. He grew tired. He was hurt when he was betrayed. He grieved when he had loss. He struggled with temptation. He fought with beast. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm glad that he became this to live what we live. I could just summarize everything I just said with this. Amen. Why did he want to live? Amen. What we live. He wanted to live what we live so he could help us. I said so he could help. I'm telling you, there's help with your life this morning because Jesus lived this life. Hallelujah. There's help this morning when you're grieving. Jesus grieved. There's help if your soul was thirsty. He was thirsty. Amen. There's help if your heart is hungry for God. He was hungry. He became this to live what we live. Brother, he became this to help with this. And so very quickly this morning from the Hebrews chapter 2, he became this to enter in to our suffering. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of suffering in humanity. And we don't have to speak in humanity in general. We can speak of this church family. There's a lot of suffering. I said he became this to enter into our suffering. Look at Hebrews 2 verse 9. I wish I had time for all this chapter, but we'll just have to jump in at verse 9. But we see Jesus. Oh, I've got to move forward. But I'm telling you, when things are getting rough, see Jesus. When things are getting dark, see Jesus. When things are getting confusing, see Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Oh, I got to move forward. But I got to tell you what he just said. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Could I tell you what that was saying? Amen. What is man that thou... Aren't you glad he did visit us? He visited us as one of us. Amen. Aren't you glad he was mindful of us? He cared enough to live what we live. He was made like we are, a little lower than the angels. Brother Sherrod, the one who angels worshiped now is a little lower than the angels. Why? Why did he become a little lower than the angels? Why? Why? For what? We can get to the death in a moment, but why? For suffering. For the suffering that we suffer. That's why he became this, the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Why? That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I want to tell you, he became this to enter into our suffering. The word suffering literally means to experience pain. I want you to know, there, don't minimize it. There's a lot of folks suffering a lot of pain, physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. But I want you to know, he came as this to enter into our pain. Even a few presidents back, we had a candidate who consistently would say in town hall meetings, in response to questions, he would say, "I feel your pain." That was highly effective. Whether he meant it or not, it's another question. But he said, "I feel your pain." I'm telling you, Jesus became this. And when he says it to you this morning, it's the truth. He says, "I feel your pain. I feel your pain." Oh, aren't you glad for it this morning? Amen. Jesus entered in to our pain. He gave this to be hurt, this to be beaten, this to bleed. One of the things that I tire from the skeptics, and many of them used to be Christians, now they're skeptics and atheists and agnostics. They say it ad nauseum. Why doesn't God do something about all the suffering? Have you heard it? I think it's very intellectual to say that, postulating the problem of evil. And look at the little babies that are born with handicaps, and look at the suffering for natural catastrophes and crime, and so they'll posture as being very intellectual and say, why didn't God do something about all this suffering? I want to tell you, there's an answer to that. He did do something about all this suffering. I said he did do something. He literally became us so he could suffer right alongside of us. He entered into our suffering. Did he do anything about suffering? Yes, it's called the cross. It's called the cross. Hallelujah. Not only did he do something about suffering, but he conquered it. He overcame it. He was victorious over it. Amen. He entered into our suffering. What other God does that of any other religion? What other faith has a God who literally enters into our pain? Oh, how many knows he's here this morning? Glory to God. He wants to help us. He joined us in our suffering. Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He didn't bear those as God. He bore those as man. Didn't say he's the God of sorrows. He's the man of sorrows. Is he God? 100%. But he became man to be the man of sorrows. Oh, there's some grief. There's some pain. Very real. Very poignant. But I want you to know, we are serving the one that became this. He is the man of sorrows. Just how close did God come to us in our need? How How close did God come to us in our need? He came so close, He became us. I've seen people suffer, but I can only get so close. Literally, I can put my arm, that's as close as I can get to you. You can be in a hospital bed, I can only get so close. How close did He come to us in our suffering? He became us. He suffered what we suffered. Oh, what, how, is anybody wondering about this incarnation thing? Amen. I'm preaching about Christmas this morning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He joined us. We should have known how He joins folks in their suffering, because when they threw those three Hebrew children boys into the fiery furnace, He joined them there. He did deliver them ultimately, but He just didn't pluck them out of the fiery furnace. He joined them in the fiery furnace. I'll tell you, there's a God who will join you, has joined you right in the middle of your suffering. The deliverance is coming, yes, sir. But before the deliverance, He's going to join you in the fiery furnace. Secondly, this morning, He became this to encounter Satan. As we do. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Behind fear, behind death, behind dying, disease, all of it ultimately is Satan and his work. He's the one that tempted Eve to sin. He's behind all of this. Amen. But Jesus came as this to face Satan. Now, you know, there's no contest between God and Satan. No contest. Don't look at this as they're almost equal powers in this death thrall battle. No, sir. God at any moment could totally destroy Satan and everything about him. Right? But we don't face Satan as God. We face Satan with this. So Jesus came as this to face Satan. And think of the temptation in the wilderness. He faced that temptation, having fasted 40 days, but He faced that temptation of Satan with the same flesh that we face Satan. There's no room for saying, well, I just have to give in to Satan. I just have to succumb. I just have to let him have his way with me as a Christian because I'm flesh and I'm not God. And all. There's no room for that. Because He faced Satan, not with His God ability. He faced Satan with His flesh. Oh, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. He who became flesh and faced Satan fills us with His power. How many believes we can overcome Satan? Even though we're in the flesh, we face Him with this flesh. Amen. God invaded our world of evil and satanic bondage. He invaded that world of evil as a baby. He sent a baby to combat the forces of evil. That baby grew as any human, became a man, and faced Satan and overcame him. You know, the worst of all things that we face, and I don't have time to go into everything. I know people say there's some things worse than death, but ultimately, the worst of everything is death. Is death. Amen. That's the greatest victory that Satan holds, is death. I want you to know Jesus did defeat him, and Jesus did take from Satan the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Didn't he do it? But I want to tell you something. Satan likes to act like he still has those keys. He still holds those
those keys. He'll make you think they're rattling in your ear. He'll try to convince you. Satan will. I'm the one that controls this thing. I'm the one with the power of death. Hell, I want you to know Jesus already defeated him. Jesus faced Satan and death and hell and the grave just like we do. But he was victorious. He overcame Satan. Could I tell you something about death? Every one of us here outside the rapture is going to face it. But we can face it knowing he already faced it with this. And he overcame. He was victorious. He faced it and he came back. I said he faced death and he came back to prove his victory over it. I know Satan fights us. I know we're weak in our humanity. But Jesus was this, and he overcame Satan. Last of all, he became this to empathize with us. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham, humanity. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brothers, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He became just as we are, and that's revealed by our Creator now calls us brother. Or he, if you're female, he would call you sister. He truly became a part of the human family. Think about that. Our Creator calls us brother. He became this. But there's a purpose given here that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. He suffered what we suffered so he could empathize what we feel, what we go through. How many's ever had the pain of betrayal? So did he. Since we're talking about pain, how many's ever known the pain of paying taxes? How many knows Jesus paid taxes? The pain that we had, Jesus had that as well. I could have chosen others, but I've watched Sister Cruz many times. One of our sisters will get news of that C word, that cancer word. And I've seen at some point Sister Cruz go to them and begin to talk with them and encourage them. You know why she can do that? Because she's had that cancer. And she's able to come alongside and say, I've been there. I've experienced that. Jesus has been in this flesh. Amen. Amen. Only those who have really been through it have any idea and understanding of what you're going through. But Jesus has suffered. I know some folks, they want to get real smart and say, well, Jesus didn't suffer everything people suffer and go through. Jesus wasn't married. I didn't mean it for it to sound like that. Jesus never went through divorce. As far as we know, Jesus never had chicken pox. Jesus never raised teenagers. Jesus never had cancer. Jesus never lost a limb. Jesus never had PST or any of those things. But there's two ways of looking at that. I know there's specific things that we suffer that Jesus, in that lifespan, he couldn't even have suffered all of those things. But there's two things. First of all, whatever the cause, we each have a set of the same emotions and the same nerve endings. There may be different things that set our nerves off in pain. There may be different things that bring about emotions like depression and discouragement and all of that. May different things. But there's only so much of a spectrum of emotion. And Jesus had all the nerve endings that we have. And he had all the emotion. So if he did not experience the exact specific disease, he still suffered the emotional and the physical pain. But beyond that is this. When he was living, he may not have experienced all of those, but when he was on the cross, God laid it upon him. Let me give you an example, very important example. Jesus never sinned. Right? So he never knew the guilt and condemnation that comes upon someone that sins, that makes them think that they cannot get right and serve God and live for God. He never had that. So you can say, see, he didn't suffer everything we suffered. But while Jesus never sinned, Brother John, God laid our sins on him. And he did know, though it was not his sin, he knows what the guilt of sin feels like. He knows what the condemnation of sin feels like. So all the scripture is saying is he became this to empathize with this, to help us. I skipped the scripture earlier. I was really getting with it, but if we could catch up with it here just a moment. It's the last verse, brother. Would you go ahead and chapter 2, verse 18. It says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor. That's just an old English word that means help. Help them that are tempted. Could I tell you, he can empathize, and empathizing, he can help us in our suffering. How many's had him help you in the nighttime hours? Has he been there? Aren't you glad he became this? He is a merciful and faithful high priest. Oh, hallelujah. Let's bring it all together with this. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What's the response to that? What's the response that he became this and he felt what we feel and he empathizes with it? What's the response to it? It's the next verse. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How can we find grace to help? How can we come boldly to his throne? Because he's been there. He's been through it. He became this. He empathizes with us. Oh, what a high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen. I heard as I was preparing this in a song, it says, when I fall on my face, you fill me with grace. Would you come, music? One of the first five missionaries to the Hawaiian Islands was Father Joseph Damien. They built a few churches on the island of Molokai. But Molokai Island, it's got, on the north side, it narrows and it's got a cliff that's 2,000 to 3,000 feet tall. And below, above the cliff, it has a peninsula, a flat peninsula of land. In the Hawaiian Islands, they would take lepers and put them on that narrow peninsula of land that was blocked by that cliff. And Father Damien had a burden for those lepers, so he left the work on the main part of the island, and he made his way over to the leper colony. And he helped them build houses for shelter. And one of the first things that he did is he built a church. There's nothing else to do on the island. And because he had been kind to them, those lepers would show up every Sunday for church. And he would preach to them. He tried every method of preaching, every emphasis. He tried to preach Christ. He preached the cross. He preached, and they would come and kindly sit and turn around and walk out of that church. And in 15 years, not a one of them gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. But after 15 years, Father Damon was fixing dinner one day and spilt some boiling water on his foot, and he didn't feel a thing. And so he purposely took the pot of boiling water and poured a little bit more on his foot, and he felt nothing. And he understood. He understood he had contracted the leprosy. Amen. The word got out. Sunday morning, Father Damon went to church, got behind the pulpit. The church was full. And he began his sermon with this: my fellow lepers. Because now he was one of them. That morning the altars were flooded with lepers giving their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And revival came to that island. Why? Because he had become one of them. And he reached them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad Jesus became this? Oh, what a high priest. What a Savior. That's why there's hope this morning. There's hope if you're hurting. There's hope if you've sinned. There's hope if your life is at a dead end. There's hope if you feel despair. There's hope if you're discouraged and depressed. He became this to help you this morning. As the servers come, could we lift our hands and just praise him across the building? Let's worship him. Could we do that? Come on, thank him for being that high priest. Oh, come on, church. Our hearts ought to be filled to overflowing that he became this. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let him help you this morning. Would you do that? Would you let him help you? Would you let him help you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to be serving communion. Desire everyone hold their elements till all have been served. We'll partake together. But if you're here and you need help, whether it's the help of salvation, whatever that help is, there'll be an opportunity at the end of this service for you to find your way to these steps we use as an altar. And I promise you that faithful, merciful high priest will meet you here.
Just won't fit. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy and deserve that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of his grace, the mercy undeserved. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought. The glory of the cross, the one.
This isn't a meaningless symbol or ritual. There's help this morning in partaking of communion. There's mercy and strength, healing and enablement. You're holding these elements of flesh and blood. He became this. Could you stand across the building? Amen. Brother Quesada, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread? Take the bread together. Hallelujah. 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 Won't you receive strength right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Michael, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let forgiveness be yours. Could you do that? Hallelujah. Oh, would you lift your hands in thanking Him? Let forgiveness be yours. Let healing be yours. Let strength be yours. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be thee. You're a merciful and a faithful high priest. Hallelujah. I want you with hands uplifted. Let's go boldly into the throne of grace. How many lift up your hands? I just need mercy to help in time of need. I'm coming boldly, boldly. Why? Because He's a merciful and a faithful high priest. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. If you're here with special need for your soul, if you'd like to be born again, put your trust in Christ for your salvation, to be washed and forgiven by His blood, these altars are open. Would you sing with us?
Amazing Grace.
You just need help. Throne of Grace. Grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah.
I once was lost, but now
oh, Jesus.
I found. I was blind, but now
sing that verse again. Somebody needs help. He's here to help you. He's here to help. Sisters, come help her. Pray. She's got a real burden this morning. She needs the help of the Lord. You'd like to come before the throne and say, I need help. Amen. I would come unashamed. He suffered to help you. I need help. For the grace. Someone else would like to come. I need help, Lord.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Through